That was beautiful. I think that is music that can lift up the most discouraged person and take us to the presence of the Lord in a special way. I really appreciated Pastor Faulkner's message this morning, and I know many here did as well. There are times when we need to hear things like were spoken this morning, and respectfully, there were many applications that I could make to my own heart and life as a result of what he preached on this morning. Yet he announced that there would be something different tonight in this message, and something that would be out of the ordinary. And I know that several of you have come with some expectations that I'm not sure that I'll be able to deliver on. Therefore, I thought that I might put the ball back in his court and let you all know that I have one further application from his message this morning. And that is that with God's help, we can say things like this.
It's a cloudy day. The sky is gray, but I think I will smile anyway.
You know, sometimes you don't know if it's the Holy Spirit prompting you to do things like that, or if it's the flesh. And I'll let you know, I do struggle with things like that. I've learned to check it out with my wife in advance, and then my mother-in-law. I had a difficult time clearing my wife, but I did. And I didn't have any trouble at all clearing my mother-in-law. So maybe the older you get, the looser you get, too. But anyway, that may be the unusual from tonight. Actually, about 2 weeks ago, Randy asked if I would speak tonight. And even before that, I had been thinking maybe the next opportunity I had to speak to the church in a large group, I'd kind of like to update the church on some of the things that I have been seeing and hearing that are happening with people reaching out to other people in the name of Jesus Christ. Then last week, we had an elders and pastors retreat, and the elders in one of the meetings that we had just echoed the fact that they would really like to have more of that, to let our church know the types of things that are going on. And that more or less sealed it for me. I confirmed that with Randy. And so what I'd like to do tonight is just in the next few minutes that we have together to share a little bit of what I'm aware is going on with you, with people in our church who are involved in reaching out to others. And I'd like to have you think in three categories. One, first of all, what's happening inside the church, particularly what's going on within these four walls and some of the things that happen within the church facilities. Secondly, what is happening outside the church, and especially in a group kind of a level. That is, with more than one person involved in this particular kind of outreach. And third, what are some of the things that at least I'm hearing are happening in individuals' lives, more or less one-on-one? I don't hope to be able to know everything. I can't. You'll know some things that are going on that I haven't even heard about. But what I would like to do tonight, rather than a message that's based on a particular passage, and this is new and different for me too, but I'd like to give you just a little update and more or less talking to you from my heart on the types of things that I'm hearing and seeing. First of all, inside the church, I think we could almost go without saying that through our Sunday school, through our Mother's Day out, through the Awana, through the Pioneer Girls, week in and week out, there are people who are involved in other people's lives, in presenting the claims of Jesus Christ, in befriending folks, in making people feel comfortable, in having an outreach to our community as well. There are different things that go out, communications that go out to parents that are happening with their children. There are different meetings that are for the parents as well as the children. There are Bible verses that are being memorized and things that are being taught that are going into unchurched families' homes. And I think we need to say right at the outset that inside our church, these particular ministries, Sunday School, Awana, Mother's Day Out, Pioneer Girls, are doing a great job. And they do it quietly. And they do it in an unsung way. But they're doing it. And we hear of individual people who are coming to Christ as a result of this, and people who are being exposed to our church ministry. And we thank the Lord for the people who are serving in that way, the leadership that is involved. And then, not long ago, our young people had a youth rally. And you know what's so exciting about this is that this whole thing was spearheaded by the youth leadership, by the adult sponsors, and by the young people involved, where they involved several area churches, and they invited in a fine singer, Wendy Foy, and had a tremendous speaker who would relate to young people, J.C. Watts. And as I understand it, right here in this auditorium, at the end of J.C. Watts' message, there were several young people that came to say that they wanted to trust in Jesus Christ. I want to say 8 or 9. Is that 12? Okay, 12. And people had on a T-shirt, and that T-shirt said, "Ask me about my most important relationship." The counselors wore these T-shirts. And those that were interested in finding out about how to become a Christian would go to the back and meet with those counselors at the end of the time together. And one of the members of our youth group who was involved in this, a few days after that fact, was involved in a key club meeting. And he heard a speaker there that day who was talking about some of his life struggles and so forth, and how he was taking one day at a time with the help of God, but this young person felt that the man who was speaking wasn't real clear in his concept of who God is, and he didn't feel that he really had an understanding of who Jesus Christ is. And in talking to one of the youth sponsors later, he said, "You know, I really feel like I've got to go talk to that man. Do you think I can do it?" And he took with him that little booklet that they were using to share the gospel with, and is making that effort to go and talk to that man because he's burdened for him. And so this young person is desiring to share his faith with the speaker at that meeting. We have what are called gym days. And the gymnasium now is open after schools. It has been at times before, but maybe in a more concentrated way right now due to the leadership of one particular man in our church. But he's there several afternoons. And part of the purpose of having these gym days is to open up the gym after schools for kids in our church as well as kids outside our church, and to let the two mingle together. And in the spirit of sports and the different games that they're playing, to develop relationships and to have an opportunity to hear the gospel and through friendships that are established. And I can say a few things about this, that there are some kids from our neighborhood that are coming in here. And on one particular occasion, the man who is especially leading this time was in the family discipleship room with some of the kids, and they were writing different things on the blackboard and so forth. And the adult leader just wrote on there something, and he wrote on John 3:16. And a couple of the kids were asking now, what is that? And so he had a chance to write that verse out on the board. And for some of those kids, it was the first time they'd ever heard about John 3:16. And some of the kids wanted to know more and hear more. And so he's developing a relationship with these kids. And there are some young people that are showing up regularly that are of the Sikh faith, an Eastern religion. And so they're coming to play basketball and different sports, but they're coming and they're being exposed to Christian teenagers and to some Christian adults. And the Lord is using this time. And just a while back, there was a young person who was befriended and got to know a little bit, and he started talking about how he really hasn't been going to church recently and lately. And the person pursued why, and he said, well, it's because my grandpa has a disease, and my grandmother is so stressed out because of his disease that there are just a lot of problems right now, and we really haven't been to church. See, these are the kinds of things that happen, and you talk about real people getting together with other people of compassion and care, and things happen when that is a setting that people can work through and work in. So these gym days after school, I think some exciting things are happening and will continue to happen. Well, how about MOPS? Some of you don't know what MOPS is. MOPS stands for Mothers of Preschoolers. This is a ministry that meets twice a month, every other Tuesday. And the first one in Oklahoma City was started right here in Metropolitan. There are now two others in the city that have been offshoots of that, and one that's about ready to start in Edmond. But there are many things you could say about this outreach ministry that meets here in the church to mothers of preschool-age children. But let me just say that picture in your mind a woman who comes for the first time. She's unchurched, and she's got a little baby, and she's never let that child out of her sight, but she's at a point where she knows she needs some support. She needs something outside of her home, and so she hears about MOPS, and she comes. And she's standing out on the hallway, and she's really got kind of a frightened look, kind of a real anxious look. And somebody comes up to her who works with the MOPS here and notices her and says, and introduces herself and encourages her to take that child into the nursery and introduces her to the workers there. And she does, and then takes her into where the women are meeting. And this lady goes in, and after the meeting, she just is all smiles and she's encouraged, and she has had a good part of her day, and she comes back. And she's building something on that. And we're building something into her life. There are discussion groups that meet as a part of the MOPS meetings. And there are leaders that help to discuss the item or the topic that their guest speaker has brought to the attention of the group that morning. I understand that recently our discussion group leaders met together. And they shared with one another the types of things that are happening in those discussion groups where the issues of God and some spiritual nature things happen, and of concern, real concern to the women are talked about. And as I have understood it, at the end of that discussion group leaders meeting where they share the types of things that are going on, there really wasn't a dry eye in the group because of the kinds of things that are happening that are coming out of those meetings that the Holy Spirit is involved in. Mother's Day Out. MOPS, Mothers of Preschoolers. And then Sunday worship. You know, every Sunday, Pastor Faulkner, or if we have another speaker, most every Sunday there will be an opportunity for people to come up here and to talk to someone about problems or about spiritual questions. And not long ago, Pastor Faulkner had the opportunity to meet with a couple who came up at the end of the service, and he took them into his office during the Sunday school hour, and they were just ready, and they wanted to know God, and they wanted to accept Jesus Christ as their Savior. And so he had that privilege of being able to meet with them during that Sunday school hour. And they invited Christ into their life. Those are exciting things. You know, in the church, support group ministries are happening. There is a support group that meets over in the Family Life Center on Wednesday nights. And people from outside our church are coming together. The nature of their time together is really somewhat private. But people are hearing the gospel from outside of our church, as well as people in our church being encouraged. But there are folks that are coming together for a common purpose, and they're finding some answers in Jesus Christ in that way. And there's support group training that is going to expand that even further. As many of you know, on Wednesday nights, there is a guest speaker coming out who is leading some sessions to help individuals, but also to train people in how they can take what they've learned and then establish another support group for people in our church and outside of our church. And those meetings are going on within the framework of our church building. So inside the church, inside our church facilities, these are at least some of the kinds of things that I'm seeing and hearing about. You know, even though it's inside the building, still it's important to realize that it's people rubbing with people. There are relationships that are being established, relationships that are building, and that is exciting. Well, how about outside the church, in a group kind of a way? Some of you are meeting regularly in business lunches. You're involved with a group of other business people. The only prerequisite for your being a part of that group that meets, as I understand, once a month, the only prerequisite is that for you to come, for you to attend, you must bring a non-Christian or an unchurched person to that lunch together, where one of you will share your testimony in the midst of that lunch time. Or you'll have an outside speaker who will come and give a testimony in that time. Some lunches are going on a regular basis where a number of you are involved in that. And I think that's encouraging. I think we're all encouraged by the fact that outside of our church, we have church members who actually lead and head up some organized ministries to reach handicapped persons, for one, to reach children, for another. And not only those of you that are in real leadership capacities, there are also some of you that are volunteers for these kinds of ministries. You're involved, and you're reaching people, and you're seeing people where their needs are, and you're helping to address them. And I think that is definitely worth mentioning as we're aware of these kinds of things. Right now, at this time on Monday nights, and on Thursday nights in two different homes, two different settings here pretty much in our geographic area. Several of you, several of the people of our church are involved in what are called open forums. And these open forums are more or less a party kind of an atmosphere where you're coming together. You've got great food. You've got a lot of fun there because you're in a really a non-threatening environment and atmosphere. But for 3 weeks prior to four consecutive either Monday nights or Thursday nights, whichever group folks are involved in, you have met together as a core group of Christian believers, and you've put together a prayer list of people that you would like to invite to come to the open forums later, and who you'll set up a schedule to pray for, and you're hearing about what goes on in an open forum, which really is a place where people come together and they talk about life and God-type issues, not a Bible study, but you talk about things that are on your mind in a real non-threatening way. But the people who are there, whether they're churched or unchurched, and they know this when they come, they'll hear at least a biblical answer for consideration to the questions that are raised. And that discussion lasts no more than 59 minutes. It's 1 hour in length, no more than that. But out of that, here are some of the questions that have been raised in these open forums, in these two that have been going on. And they've both met one time, as I understand it. They've both met one time with the guests that they've invited. These are some of the questions that are coming out of those times. Somebody said, Easter was last week. Who was the angel that was standing by the tomb? Somebody told me one person, but I'm not sure. Here's another one. How do you know that God exists? Here's a question. What do you Christians think the age of the earth is? I've always heard that Christians believe that the earth is 6,000 years old. What do you say about that? Or if God is such a loving God, why is there so much evil in the world? One that was raised. Or why do you have to think that it's either God or Satan who is to blame for bad things that happen in the world? Maybe things just happen. Why do you always have to say that it's either God or Satan who's to blame? Here's one. What's good for me may be evil for you, or what's evil for me may be good for you. So who's to say that there's really some absolute truth in the world? Now, mind you, these are questions that are raised by the guests themselves. They're the ones initiating the questions. The Christians pretty much zip it up and observe. Or if Jesus is the only way to God, what about that five-year-old who never hears? Or what about Muslims that are in the world? What do we know about that? These are some questions that are raised at these times. These meetings, which are four in length with the invited guests, the first meeting at one of the locations, there were 20 people in the core group, and there were 32 invited guests who came. 52 people that were crammed into a living room. The second one, on the Thursday night at the other location, had, I think, 38 in attendance with about a half and half split of those who were the core group and those who were the invited guests. And I don't mean to say that every person who's an invited guest is not necessarily a Christian, but many of them may not be. And this is proving to be a tool that the Lord is using to not just get people together in this kind of a meeting, but then to serve as a springboard for that person who's invited someone to have to carry on further conversation with their guest, to know where their friend is coming from on some of these kinds of issues. Those are the open forums. Single adults invited the head of a Christian ministry, a local Christian ministry, to the poor. Some of our single adults invited this person to come to a meeting and to talk more about what they are doing to meet the needs of the poor in the city. Out of that, several of our single adults last Sunday made it their first go-around to do something very practical, to meet with some poor people in Oklahoma City and to help to meet a physical need in their life. And hopefully out of that, to show the love of Christ and to share with them Jesus Christ as well. And that was and is happening with some of our single adults. Bible studies at work we're hearing about. I know of at least two that are going on by some folks in our church who are banding together at their place of employment with some other Christians and are seeing folks come and wanting to know some of the answers in the Bible. These are some of the kinds of things that are happening outside our church as a group. And I hope that you're encouraged by those. And then finally, just a few of the individual kinds of things that are happening outside of our church. Just some people that are rubbing shoulders with other people. People in our church who are burdened for other individuals, and they're seeking to be God's person, God's man, woman, or child in that given location, in that given place. And these are some of their burdens. And I've just written them down. A neighbor who's really hurting about life. That there has to be more to life than work. And this particular neighbor who was known to have buried his head in his wife's presence and broken down in tears because he's poured his life into his work and he feels like he's losing his family. And so here's a neighbor who some Christian neighbors are aware of a need in his life and are seeking to reach out to him. Where a young, successful businessman with a very precious and caring heart, but that businessman who somebody in our church works with doesn't appear to really outwardly be interested in spiritual things, but this person is just burdened for that young businessman. Or someone who has some co-workers at school and several students that she works with and she talks with every day. And she is concerned about being a witness for Christ in that setting. She really wants to be a witness for Christ there. Or two men at the office, both preparing for fatherhood and to have some concerns about becoming a dad. And this person wants to reach out in that kind of a way and help. Or next-door neighbors that have had a death in their family and they're inquiring and asking spiritual questions as well as searching for their purpose in life. Someone who has noticed that because of a crisis time in their neighbor's life, they're open to talking about spiritual things and they're burdened for them. A co-worker who's concerned about growing older and about his son growing into his teenage years. He's also interested in how I am responding, this person writes, to life's struggles. So this person is watching and listening and being involved and just wants to have somebody identify with them and their struggles in life and hopefully hear about the person of Jesus Christ in a part of that. Or a Jewish lady who God keeps bringing to this couple's life, bringing back to their contacts and to their time together, and who has asked for prayer for her physical condition and for her need there. Or two family members who are not Christians. This person says, it's difficult to say too much. I'm trying to abide by the idea that what you are speaks so loud I can't hear what you say. This person really wants to witness by their deeds as well as their words, but concerned about a couple of family members. Or a neighbor who has been a little bit cold toward another neighbor. And this person says that not long ago they were out in the yard working and this neighbor was out walking. And the Christian neighbor knew that this person had a leg problem. And so he just asked that neighbor about how his recovery was coming with his leg and so forth. And out of that conversation, that neighbor who'd been a little cold just opened up and talked about all of the stresses and burdens that he had encountered as a result of the stay in the hospital and about the recovery, and just used that one little thought, how's your leg, to open up really an avalanche of conversation, and then has something to build on in that next time that they talk, in different ways that he can be involved in some practical needs. You know what excites me as much as anything, though, that I've mentioned tonight? That there are people in our church who I think are really, really asking the question, what can I do? I've had some neighbors that I've been around for 18 years, and I've tried different things, and I'm just really not sure about what are some ways that I can reach out in the Lord's name and that will have an effect. You see, that excites me as much as anything because I think that's where most of us live, because we look for little things that we can do, just the kind of person that we are and things that we say that will show people that we care about them. And that excites me. I think, to use an illustration, and I'm looking at, my watch is kind of haywire. It says 12 till 7. What is it really?
That's 3 after.
Oh. Okay. Thanks, Bill. Okay. But I'm going to coach a t-ball team this summer with some other men too. But it's for 4 and 5 year old kids that hit a ball off of a tee and learn how to play baseball. But I was thinking of some names to try to name the team. And I thought, well, teammates, that might be a good one. Or future stars, that's one that has been thought up by somebody here in the church and been used in the past. That's a good name. Or how about all Americans? But I decided to ask from a source that would be directly involved, and I asked a 4-year-old. And this 4-year-old told me, without blinking an eye, call them the ponies. I thought to myself, ponies? But you know what? That's what a 4-year-old thinks. And that's what a 4-year-old is interested in. And we're going to call that team the ponies. Because a 4-year-old can relate to that and can identify with that and likes that. And I do believe that what I've been seeing here in this church is what the author of the book, 7 Habits of Effective People, calls what is needed in today's society to be effective is a paradigm shift. A shift in the way that you perceive things, the way that you see things. And I believe that many of us have for so long thought that evangelism means primarily grabbing hold of somebody, sitting them down, and sharing a gospel presentation right there on the spot. And I think that many of us are shifting our viewpoint and are seeing that true evangelism can be several things. Certainly, it's the type of person that I am, the type of person that I am with people. I don't have to try to categorize or put in a capsule form what I think evangelism is. Evangelism truly is a way of life. The way I am all the time around people, what I say and what I do. Not just a given moment, a given event, when I share the plan of salvation with someone. And I think that we're seeing that in our church. People are being freed up more in their concept of evangelism. And they're saying, yes, I do have something to offer. I do have a gift. I do have a talent. And I'm going to use it. And I'm going to develop relationships with people. And I think that's exciting. Well, I know that I've gone over. And yet, I just want you to recognize that when you think of evangelism, and you think of how God might use you, shift your way of thinking a little bit. At that elders' retreat, as we were watching some videotapes during part of our time, I just wrote down maybe the way I'd operated for so long. Have a dream, and then I put a little arrow, and then I said, if you've got your dream, then develop. Develop as a person, and then do or carry out that dream. I don't think that way as much anymore, right? If you've got a dream, if you've got something, if you've got a burden on your heart you think the Lord would have you do, dream, then do. Just do it. Just do it. And then develop. Because you will develop out of the doing. And you will then find the training that you receive that much more real and much more effective in your life and much more helpful to you. You got some people you care about, just go ahead and do something with them. And you'll develop. Take a risk. Many of us by nature are not risk takers. But growth and life come out of good risk. And that's true with reaching out to people. Involving yourself in the lives of people who do not know Jesus Christ is a good risk. It's a good risk. The question I have for you in closing tonight, is God breaking your heart over someone or some group of people that do not know Jesus Christ? Would you consider leading our church in reaching out to that person or reaching out to that group. I want to say congratulations for what you've done and what you are doing and what you will do. And may God be praised in every part of that. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the testimonies that we've heard and the testimonies that we haven't heard. Thank you for the encouragement that they bring when we know that it's the Holy Spirit using us as normal people to be ambassadors for Jesus Christ in whatever way, shape, or form you have been pleased to let us be involved. Encourage us and lead us. We praise you for it and thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.